Tesla earnings. What is Jamie Dimon, or more specifically, Jamie Dimon warning about? Talk about durable goods, PMI, mortgage demand. We'll give you some numbers around rent growth for apartments and single family. But most importantly, I want to highlight an interview that I was a part of on the Financial Firefighters YouTube channel. Folks, do yourself a favor. Financial Firefighter just published our discussion. It was amazing. I shared some stuff in that discussion that I've never shared before. So again, if you want to know a little bit about what makes me tick, what drives me every day, go on over to the Financial Firefighter. Give him a subscribe. Let's see if we can't get him over 500 subs today. That would be wonderful. Again, thank you for that opportunity. So let's get into it. Let's get into Tesla first. Again, as I've said many times, I would never touch Tesla stock. It is one of those companies that just is driven by passion. Either you hate them or you love them. And it is fun for me to watch from afar. So what happened on Tesla? Well, first and foremost, they missed on revenue. They missed on earnings. But yet, they just talked about ramping up expectations for an affordable EV at $25,000, folks. And again, I find it comical. I really do. I think it is so funny. How many times has Elon Musk over the years talked about something and it's taken years and years to come? I just think it is comical that he keeps playing the same game and people keep falling for it. It's like, wow, what a cult he has created. And again, lots and lots of passionate people doubling down, this, that, the other. Yeah, revenue down. Revenue is down 9%, you know. But hey, you're going to make an affordable car. And oh, by the way, layoffs, we're going to save $1 billion. I just think it's funny. But hey, if you own Tesla, congratulations. You are up big this morning. Let's move on to some other earnings while we have them. We got Visa. Visa beat top line, bottom line. What I was looking for in Visa's earnings was volume, payment volume. And payment volume is up 8%. We're still charging. We are still transacting. So payment volume up. Hilton was one of those companies I looked at over the weekend, and I highlighted as one to watch. They beat top line. They beat bottom line and boosted guidance. Yes, folks, looks like we are still out traveling and traveling around. Let's talk about Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon is continuing his trend of really speaking doom and fear. This time he is talking about the U.S. economy heading back to 1970s. We've talked about that a bunch on this channel. The 1970s are frightening. Not only did you have bell bottoms and all that other stuff and disco, right? You also had stagflation. You had low growth and high inflation. I have said before and will say again here, stagflation is worse than a recession. A lot of you may not understand, but in reality, stagflation is worse than a recession because you have two competing forces, and whatever you do to fix one hurts the other. For example, you have low growth. What do? You cut rates. What happens? Things pick up and inflation goes up. You want to get inflation down, you raise rates, the job market comes down. So again, stagflation is this yucky, just not good economy. Again, not negative growth, but low trend. And Jamie Dimon thinks we are going there. Low growth, high inflation, stagflation. Higher rates, he thinks rates will be higher than the market expects. I think the market is catching on that rates are going to be higher for longer. I mean, Jerome Powell has been remarkably consistent. And it's funny, Jamie Dimon says he has prepared his executives for either 2% rates or 8% rates. Anywhere in between that, his team has created a plan. Because again, what's really important is you have to make a call. At 8%, you do something very, very different than rates at 2%. Again, think about what you would do. If rates were to just suddenly come down to 2%, you would do this, And if rates spike to 8%, you would do that. So again, we need to be prepared and look at all of those things. Let's talk about durable goods. Durable goods came in at 2.6%. What does that mean? It means the economy, consumers are still buying. Last was 1.3, estimate was 2.5. So came in just above expectations. Again, no sign of a recession. Durable goods orders would be negative if we were in a recession today. Just reality, right? I think what's really happening is there's a lot of noisy doomers who have frankly been wrong for a long time. And I think those noisy doomers are clouding people's judgments. I think there's a whole collection of folks that are just out doing it and they don't talk, they don't make noise, right? They're out building businesses, they're out doing this or that. I don't know. It's just really weird to watch, right? The numbers are pretty consistent that the economy is in okay shape. And frankly, handling 5% rates just fine, right? The Fed is not restrictive just based on the consumption, at least not as restrictive as they think they are. So again, pretty interesting. What about PMI? Again, PMI yesterday was pretty weak. We talked about it yesterday. It broke below the 50 mark. Again, 50 is contraction, above 50 is growth. It's one of the first leading indicators that you and I are going to have to watch. 1 month does not make a trend, but it is one to watch. Because again, PMI services, PMI manufacturing, both were weaker than expected. So it could be one of those first signs that maybe things are getting weak. But again, we just have to be, you know, diligent and watch that stuff going forward. How about mortgage demand? I don't know if you guys can put two and two together, but higher rates, lower demand. Sometimes it is that simple. Mortgage demand was down. Let me make sure I get the number correct. Mortgage demand was down. Where'd I write it? Man, lots of notes today. Mortgage demand was down 1%. Mortgage demand was down 2.6. Purchase was down 1%. Again, higher rates, less demand. I know. Sometimes it is that simple. Let's talk about rent growth. Let's talk about rent growth apartments, rent growth houses. I will give you the top three markets for apartments and houses. And I got to tell you, I would not have guessed any of these. Let's do apartments first. Number three, for most rent growth, Springfield, Massachusetts, up 6.3%. Yes, folks, rent growth is still out there. Springfield, Mass, 6.3%. How about Rochester, New York? Rochester, New York, up also 6.3%. And the winner, winner, chicken dinner, Buffalo, New York. Buffalo, New York, up 6.4%. If you're out in any of these markets, I'd be curious, why? Why are they growing? Are these like suburbs to other big markets? Are these, you know, towns that didn't have rent growth the last couple of years? What is going on in Buffalo, New York, up 6.4%. Wow, crazy. Well, looks like somebody would have guessed it. Congratulations. All right, how about single family homes? It's weird, right? The number one apartments are the Northeast. Let's go single family homes. Number three, Savannah, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia, up 9.9%. Again, folks, remember single family rental is different than multifamily, even though the experts want to put them together. They are just not. Again, Savannah, Georgia in third place at 9.9, almost 3.5% above Buffalo, which was the number one apartment. So again, remember, houses and apartments, not the same thing. Knoxville, Tennessee into the double digits at 10.6%. And then finally, again, I would have never guessed this. Number one, single family rent growth in the last 12 months, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Shout out Chattanooga, Tennessee, coming in at 11.2%. Wow, 11.2%. So same question. If you're in Savannah, Knoxville, Chattanooga, tell me what's going on. Are these bedroom communities to other areas? Are employers going there? What is going on? I would love to hear from you. Let's talk about anything else. Yeah, I think, again, some of the earnings that we've got, like CarMax and RH, Restoration Hardware, RH, we are starting to see that higher rates matter. Obviously, CarMax relies on lending for their cars. RH does luxury homes. We're just starting to see that higher rates matter and can shave off demand in interest rate sensitive things like cars and single families. Last thing I noted, I don't know if you saw this, that Oracle is moving their headquarters to Nashville. Initially, when I read that article, it was like, oh, wow, Oracle is leaving California. Because again, Oracle is right up the 101 in Redwood City from my house, like 20 minutes. I was like, oh my God, they're leaving California? Nope, not true. Oracle is leaving Austin. Little did I know that in 2020, Larry Ellison, I didn't know this, didn't hit my radar, Larry Ellison moved Oracle's headquarters from California to Texas in 2020. Now he is going from Texas to Nashville. Wow. What's going on? So again, based on the article, Oracle has made some significant investments in healthcare. I think they bought a company called Cerner a year ago or whatnot. I think they're moving to Nashville to be more around the healthcare that they've made some big investments in. At the end of the day, folks, do me a favor one more time. Go check out Financial Firefighter on YouTube. We had a great conversation. I was very vulnerable. We talked about some cool stuff. And I'd love to hear what you have to say. Like, subscribe, comment. And if you're going to grow with video, where'd that come from? Video, I will be leaving my home momentarily, and I will see you out there. Take care. Have a great day. You guys are amazing. Later.